You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Hi, good morning. Our 2021 well vision is this: to emerge well, embody well, engage well. I want the church to emerge well from the pandemic. I want Christians to embody Jesus well and flourish as we leave the pandemic behind. And for us to engage well with our community so that it too thrives as we leave the pandemic. It's been such a hard year, hasn't it? Many in our town are frightened, uncertain, even angrier than they were before the pandemic. And in addition to the COVID crisis, there are many other major crises that people are reflecting on: the environmental crisis, global warming, extinction of species, wildfires, plastic in the oceans. There's a looming economic crisis. The World Bank says that we're heading for the deepest recession in 150 years. A couple of weeks ago, I was listening to Mark Carney's Wreath lectures, so insightful, calling for a radical rethink of credit, capitalism, and climate. Just read the news and there are challenges about race, social inequality, unemployment, fake news, conspiracy theories, and understanding what is true. There's a rise of popularism, challenges about the education of disadvantaged kids as a result of the pandemic. And in addition to these major big issues, there are countless small personal crises that people are dealing with in our community. Kids missing schooling and missing their friends. Students isolating in halls of residence. Family cancelling holidays. Wedding plans being dashed. Funerals being so restricted. People have lost jobs. Others have lost businesses that they had invested their lives into. It's been so painful for families who were not allowed to be at the bedside of their dying parents, of husbands not being able to hold the hand of their dying wives. So much pain people have been dealing with over this last year. Particularly the 18 to 24-year-olds impacted so much, impacted by depression. I think 84% report symptoms of depression in that age band, and 72% report symptoms of anxiety. Young adults are just reporting significant levels of loneliness, reduced positive mood. The fear of missing out has turned into the fear of going out. For many, just there's an anxiety and fear of going out. It is a hard time. And how we need our community to emerge well from this pandemic. Early last year, when COVID was just first in the news, Guy Miller, who heads up our family of churches, had a dream one night that he shared with the church leaders, as he felt it was from God. And in the dream, he saw two giant and destructive tsunami waves. The first came crashing in was the COVID crisis, and the destruction it brought was vast. But he also saw a bigger and scarier second wave, far more powerful and even more destructive. And he felt that this was all the consequences of the pandemic. And his message to church leaders was to be ready for that second wave. A massive storm has come, and many have found, even in our town, that they have built on sand. And it's time for us, Jubilee, to recognize that we have our lives built on rock. And I believe that those who feel everything was secure in their lives and feels that it's been washed away by the storm will be looking for safe places to take refuge. I think there's going to be many who are looking at Jesus in a different way in this coming year and years. Never in my life have I felt there's such opportunity, really, as now, for the church to make a positive difference if we can engage well in this next year, next couple of years. and in doing so, embody Jesus for people. Never has there been such an opportunity where I think we can step up as a church. And as I've been thinking about engaging with our community, a phrase has come to mind. It's this phrase, kiss and tell. It's an expression used for those who trap celebrities to earn money by telling their stories to the popular press. However, it's also a book title by a guy called Pete Gilbert, the guy who brought me to faith some 40 years ago. It's a book about passion, really, a passion for Jesus and a passion for the lost. And he provocatively says that you can't have one without the other, actually. You can't have a passion for Jesus without a passion to see others come to know him. He describes the phrase kiss and tell like this. It's a tangible expression of our intimacy with Jesus. It's an invitation to kiss him and then to tell others all you know and have experienced of his wondrous love for you. Some of you know that the Greek New Testament word proskynos, that's translated worship, means to move towards, to embrace and to kiss. That's where he gets it from. The point of our worship is that it's a relational expression of love. That's how the New Testament captures it. But it's also a kiss and tell. And it's my hope that this year we will be encouraged and inspired and motivated and equipped to move towards Jesus in order to move others closer to him too. Many years ago when I was training, I came across this challenging quote from Eddie Gibbs about leaders in churches, all sorts of levels of leaders in leadership in churches. He said this, rather than train leaders to be fishers of men, we train them to be keepers of aquariums. Wow. As we emerge from the pandemic, I want the church to emerge well and to embody Jesus well. In the run-up to Easter, in our live stream, we're going to be reflecting on embodying Jesus. We need to also reflect on our trajectory for our corporate worship, when we're able to meet together, our prayer meetings, our kids' work, our small groups, the stuff that makes us church, our gathering, our growing, our giving, our glorifying. And I really believe imaginal cells are bursting with life and new structures and new forms are going to come to be in this next year. We want to embody Jesus well. But at the end of the day, it's not just about keeping an aquarium. It's about being fishers of men and women. Outward looking, going out there and engaging with the world. Fishing the tide. Because this is where the fish are. And they're meant to be. I want us to not just be concerned with our own little tank, attempting to keep the water clean, hand feeding the fish, feed the people. Fish in the sea don't need to be fed. They feed on the job, as it were. I don't want us to feel that we can't get any more fish in the tank. I don't want us to fish. I don't want our fish just to be swimming around the same bit of weed, the same rocks. I want us to be fishing in fresh, flowing water. I think that's where God wants us to be in this next year. He wants us to be engaging well with our community. Yeah, we want to be concerned with the fish we have, but we also want to be fishers. I was so challenged a few weeks back when Claire sent just a prophetic picture to the leaders saying it was time to fish. She had a picture of fish swimming close to a net and how sometimes they flee away when there's a disturbance. Perhaps they then swim closer for a while and then they swim off again and then back again and so on until they're unaware and they swim right into the net. And she felt that God was saying that we all have at least one person that we know who is not a Christian, who is or has been swimming close by and that we should look out for hints that they are close, that they may might be an innocent question about faith or a text out of the blue. More and more I hear that happening amongst us, that people are just asking questions. And we're not to frighten them off by bombarding them too soon or getting religious or Bible bashing them, but to be prayerfully aware that there's a lot of people just swimming close. And for us to be led by the Spirit as to what to say and what to do. I finished this week's little mini messages encouraging us to come and drink living water, to be filled with the Holy Spirit as we emerge from the pandemic. And it's my heart for us all. Just reflecting this week on when Jesus met the woman at the well. He says this, Jesus answered, "Anyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again," looking at the water in the well. "But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus' heart is for us to drink of his living water. But there's always a consequence of drinking living water. The drinking of living water is a picture of the Holy Spirit in us, as we were saying, transforming us to be like Jesus. But there's always a consequence of drinking living water. In Acts 1:8 it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." See, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, who brings power to transform us into the likeness of Jesus. That's what we've been looking at this week. So we could embody him well, be transformed into his image. But the Spirit also comes that we become witnesses. If you look up that verse, you'll notice that witness is more about identity than it is about function. It has more to do with who we are than what we do. I think many subconsciously read this verse as, "You will do witnessing in Jerusalem," rather than, "You will be witnesses." First is an action. The second is a state of being. We're human beings, aren't we, rather than human doings. So it's not just all about the doings. It's about who we are, who we reflect. God has made you, you. And he's going to use you to witness in ways that are appropriate for you. Let me just share one other foundational verse for us in 2021. It's from 1 Peter 3, 13 to 16. Says this, "But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." Being able to give a good reason for the hope that we have. This is our Project Q. We want to ask the questions that people are asking, to give answers to our community. We need to know their questions. Here we're instructed to always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have. It's towards others, if you notice, that our hope and faith should be directed. Notice also from this verse that witnessing is not just about giving the right answers. It's also about having the right attitude. In this verse, there's a huge preponderance of words that deal with right attitudes. Eager, not frightened, hope, gentleness, respect, clear conscience. They derive from verse 15 where it says, but in your hearts, your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. In Jewish thinking, the heart was not the center of our emotions and our affections. For the Jews, emotions and affections were symbolically centered in the bowels. Certainly conjures up a whole load of different images on our Valentine cards for next weekend, doesn't it? If it was all located in our bowels rather than in our heart. But for the Jew, the heart was the center of the personality, character, will, and choices. And this is where you set apart Christ as Lord. The emphasis of the passage is not on having the right answer, but having the right attitude in how we engage with others. See, it's not about winning an argument and losing a friend. It's less about winning and more about wooing people towards Jesus. That's why he wants us to be transformed into his image. You see, God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. God so loves Jubilee. And he's so for us and so going to bless us and so wants to be with us, so wants to pour blessing upon us, on everyone in Jubilee as we leave from this pandemic. But he does so that we can be a blessing to Farnham. You see, God so loves the people in Farnham that he sent Jesus. And as we seek to engage well, it's time to let people know about the joy of knowing Jesus. And that's why I want us to emerge well, embody him well, but also engage well with our community. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, that's where we're going through this next year. We want to, with our well vision, we want to be those who emerge well. Help us, Lord. We want to be those that embody Jesus well, who are being transformed by his Spirit. And Lord, we want to be those who engage well with our community. And we ask, Lord, that you would give us wisdom in what we should do to engage well. Practically, with love, care, support, looking out for people, and with words that communicate the grace and the love of God to people in these challenging times. And so we ask you to help us with that. In Jesus' name. Amen.